Well, good morning. Bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to John chapter 3. This morning, we'll close on this series we began around July 4th, our Independence Day, regarding the believing one's Bill of Rights, our sonship rights as citizens in the kingdom of God. They are righteousness, right believing for right living, how to live virtuously, redemption, to be redeemed, to open the door and be able to see much greater and in much greater detail, our justification, just as if we never sinned, and our justification to walk with the greatness of the power of God, our sanctification, to be set apart for a godly purpose, and to carry out godly things. And this morning, we'll get into the ministry or service of reconciliation. The word reconcile means to win over to friendliness or by way of friendliness. Cause to become amicable. I've explained why we call our prayer group our Amicus Alliance. The Latin word amicus means a friend to the last degree. We have a wonderful word to speak. We have winning words that we can speak, and we can win people to the friendliness and graciousness and favorableness of our God. The problem is not with God. He's always been the same. I am the Lord, I change not. He has always been the same. Our ability to grasp how he is, how he functions, and to turn our minds away from the falsehoods we have heard concerning God, the things that we have absorbed by traditions and expressions that people use, and in secular writings and classical writings, as well as even Christian writings, we have lost the truth of who God is and what he does in a great degree, and we can turn ourselves back. We can be reconciled back to God and remove ourselves from the separation that we've had, because he is a friend to the last degree, and we ought to be acquainted with it. Reconciliation is an act or process to make consistent and compatible. And if our thinking and our thoughts toward God are not consistent with the Scripture and compatible with the Scripture, then we will not be reconciled in those categories of life. The concept of reconciliation is so huge, it actually takes four Greek words to communicate it. I'm not going to give the words that you can do. If you just take a concordance, you can find out what those words are and look them up. You can look them up in other versions of the Bible or other books that help you in that particular category, going from the definitions of Greek words and so forth. But what I want to give you is the essence of what all of them combined bring us to. To understand the service of reconciliation from the aspect of making the service consistent and compatible with the Scriptures and what has been declared by Jesus Christ, we need to look at one verse that I believe is a landmark statement given about man's relationship to God that we must, in our understanding of the Scriptures and in looking at the verses, must maintain a compatibility and the flow with. All we know and think about God needs to align not just our thoughts, but then even further, how we live. Remember, I've shared with you our theme verse for Beloved of God Ministries is 1 John 4:16. We have known and believed the love God hath to us. We've not only just known it, but we believe it. That means it becomes part of our lives and part of our action. It is what we absolutely believe regarding God's love toward us. That's why we don't allow ourselves to fall into condemnation and some of the other things that we're attacked with or we're confronted with. We stay compatible with that great scripture. We have known and believed the love God has to us, and then our conduct represents that. Fear goes because we know God loves us, and what's more is we believe God loves us, and we begin to live like men and women who are loved by God, and then fear, inability, all these other negatives are no longer a part of our lives because that our lives are compatible and consistent with the truth of God's word. In John 3:16, here's a foundation, and all of the scriptures that we read need to flow consistent with this verse and compatible with this verse, as well as others. But this one sets a landmark, and this is one that was spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It begins with the word "for." The word "for" means there is a purpose, there's a reason why this is given. And the next word is "so." For God, so. This is the reason God is doing this. This is the reason God is stating this. "So is the grand cause. In this manner, God so loved the world." In this manner, this is the way he loved the world. He loved. Love, agape, is love that is unconditional. It is never failing. It is eternal in length, unlimited in compassion, and immeasurable in mercy. It will elevate the heart with hope and give us convictions on which to stand. That is the purpose, is that God so, in this manner, loved with this unconditional, never failing, eternal, unlimited in compassion, immeasurable in mercy, a love that elevates our heart and hope and gives us conviction to stand. Now, when we look at other verses, they must flow in consistent with this and compatible with this, especially when we're thinking of God and God's attitude, God's personality, so to speak, God's character. This is the way he looks at it. And it is to the world, the cosmos. The word cosmos means the ordered universe of which mankind is at the center of. And all of our thoughts and all of the scriptures that we look at must flow consistent with this and in compatibility with it. God so loved how many? The world. He loved the world. The entire cosmos, which is the center, or at the center, is humankind. That's how big his love is for all mankind. All of it. That whosoever... It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." The word "gave" means to present freely, emanating from a labor of love. his only begotten Son in exchange for mankind. He gave his only begotten Son for all of mankind. He paid the ultimate price. That whosoever is an invitation to all, believeth on him, should not perish, but have, what? Everlasting life. God's will for all of mankind is to have everlasting life. All of humanity. Every thought, every concept of God, and every verse of Scripture, by necessity then, must be consistent with that and compatible with it. This is must, all of it has to line up with that declaration. Who spoke that declaration? Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke that. In John chapter 1, just go back a page or two, whatever your Bible holds. But in John chapter 1, verse 17 tells us, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man had seen God at any time. That includes Moses. That includes Abraham. That includes David. That includes every man except for the Lord Jesus Christ, who declared God. It says, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, right at the very heart of God, he hath, the next word is declared. This word declared means to be the introducer. The Greek word means to introduce. If Jesus Christ was the introducer of God, he hath declared him, or he introduced him, then that means there were things lacking in the introduction from Moses, from Abraham to Moses to David, and so on. They did not know certain things about God, not in the way that Jesus Christ declared them and showed them forth. If man, and even all of these wonderful men, and nothing wrong with these men, they could only go as far as they knew. They could only go as far as their understanding would allow them, and it did allow them a great deal of understanding. But God is even greater than that, and the only begotten Son of God, who is right at the very heart of God, in the bosom of God, he had to give information and show forth things about God that no other man has ever seen before. Then look how wonderfully those men walked for God, lacking the knowledge that Jesus Christ is now going to introduce and declare regarding God. Surely men and women did not know these grand truths, including the patriarchs, the prophets, and other men and women of the Old Testament, and even during the gospel period. Jesus came to declare it, to make it known. Even the things they did know that was not fully lived. Look at the 103rd Psalm, just to give you an example. Psalm 103. And for much of Christianity, we still have not come to grips with these wonderful truths that flow compatibly with John 3:16 and John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yeah. And here it states clearly, look at this, in Psalm 103, starting in verse 10. He, meaning God, hath not dealt with us after our sins. What does that mean? He hath not dealt with us after our sins. That would have to include Adam and Eve's what? Sin. Sure. He hasn't dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our. But men keep waiting for a payback for their ignorance, a payback for their sin, a payback for their iniquities. But the scriptures say, he hath not dealt with man. That's why God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, who was to introduce us to God and show us things about God that people just had not gotten to the place where they lived that way. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear or respect him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear or respect him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembers we are dust. How many people actually live that way? How many people have that confidence that God forgives them? How many people have that confidence that God does not deal with us according to our sin? We all cry out, Adam and Eve, you know, their great sin. We're all affected by it, and God deals with us. I must be reading a different Bible, because mine says, where God so loved the what? From the beginning. God has been there all the time, even before the heavens and earth were created, and he doesn't deal with us because the Lord, I am the Lord, I change not. But Jesus came to declare it and to show it to us. And you know, there are four wonderful gospels, four wonderful books of good news that Jesus Christ had to share with us about how God is, the character of God, his graciousness, his kindness, his love, his compassion, his mercies. We should not allow it to pass us up. Then why condemnation? He has separated us from our sins, and reconciliation is not bringing them back together again. Our reconciliation is not God bringing us back together with our sins. He has separated us from them. That's the good news. We ought to reconcile ourselves to the good news that God does not bring them back. I know people have great fear of standing in the judgment of God and all of this stuff. If he hasn't dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, then either we have a wrong perception of what that judgment is going to be about, or we might as well throw these verses out of Psalm 103. How well does our life fit with John 3:16? Do we really believe that he so loved us he did not want to miss one person having eternal life? He will never leave us nor forsake us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These are the truths, and they must flow compatible and consistent with John 3:16. But what about the wrath of God, Larry? What about fire and brimstone? We're going to hell in a handbasket. Well, let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians. I've heard that in church. I was taught that. We read scriptures. We did all that. Well, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Did you read this one? First Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 9, it says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come." He rescued us from the wrath. Oh, so then we can live like hell? Is that consistent with God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? How about loving him back? How about living that love of God because he so loved us? He so loved the world, and I'm one of the people that was in the world. And he so loved us, why wouldn't it be more consistent for me to want to love him back and to walk according to his word, to put on the truths that he has given to me and he's given to us, and live compatible with that? Let's look at 1 John. What else did Jesus declare about God? What else did he tell us? What else did he make known to mankind? Well, come on, Larry, get there. In 1 John chapter 1, it says in verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him from Jesus Christ, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." The word message means to decree a promise. What is Jesus promising us? That God is and in him is no darkness at all. Do our words and thinking match that introduction? Is the way we live our lives match that introduction? Be ye reconciled. To reconcile is to win one who is against through the friendliness of God, through his favorable disposition. God remains the same. He's been the same from the beginning. Man is the one that kind of fluctuates back and forth. We want to get man to turn around, and the way we get man to turn around is to show them the same thing Jesus Christ showed. This God who is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This God, who had not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity, he believes his love is enough to turn your life. We ought to believe the same and then follow it. Try it. You like it. It'll turn you. Get your heart, your mind, your way of living consistent and compatible with Jesus' declaration and introduction of God. Look at John chapter 3 again. Let's go back to that because I want you to have this set in the depth of your heart. And in verse 17, for, here's the reason again, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't do it for that reason. Then our lives ought to be consistent and compatible with that. Instead of always worried and concerned about it, he didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. I know more people who are more interested in retribution than they are in the redemption of God's love. They're more interested in seeing this person getting paid back for doing that to me, this person getting paid back for saying such and such, this person getting this, that person getting that. They are more interested in retribution than they are in redemption because, you know, you're on somebody else's S list. But he has redeemed us, and let's open the door and see what he's put before us and stay true to these great scriptures and reconcile ourselves. Let us stay compatible and consistent with the scriptures. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. But this is his thinking. This is God's purpose. This is God's idea. But that the world through him might be saved, made whole, because through him we confess Jesus as our Lord. We believe God hath raised him from the dead. We get born again of his spirit, and we receive within us Holy Spirit, that wonderful gift. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Isn't this exciting?
Yes.
My goodness. And our need is to stay consistent and stay compatible with the scriptures, both in our thinking and in the way that we live. There's no reason for you to live frightened. There's no reason for you to live worried. There's no reason for you to be ashamed. The truth is, God loved us, and he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son for you and for me. That's a lot of love. And he's not going to lose us now. John 3:17, and I said, go 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, let's read verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. This is God's beseeching, and it's by us. We're asking you to do this in Christ's stead. Be ye what? Reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Get your mind and your heart consistent and compatible with the scriptures. He so loved us. He never stopped loving us. And he never will. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. A lot of people would like to have you cut off, perhaps. But that is inconsistent with what God says. That is inconsistent with what Jesus Christ demonstrated. Be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. He is the substitute in our reconciliation. Jesus Christ was the complete substitute for all of mankind, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's not we might, but it might not. It is used as an expression that it is a done deal. This was the purpose God had in mind to do. Do you think God was successful in doing it? Do you think Jesus Christ paid the price for all of mankind? It's just mankind needs to catch up with what God has done for them, because he so loved them. He so cared for them. His heart so ached for mankind that he did this, and he wanted mankind to know who he truly is. Not who all of the gods of this world declare he is. Like when Paul went to, what was it, in Athens, where they had all of the gods lined up there, and he said, and this is the one, the unknown God, in case we missed anybody. Jesus Christ declared who this God is. And if you have any question about how this God is, then go read the Gospels. You will not read once where Jesus Christ made people sick, injured people, hurt people. There's not one record of Jesus Christ sending somebody home by way of death. There's not one illustration of that. And things that we have heard, God called him home. In a car accident, if that's God's calling, don't call me, I'll call you. Yeah. Let's come back to the truth and get the truth. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We are to reconcile men back to this truth. The friendliness of God, the loveliness of God, the kindness of God that Jesus Christ demonstrated. He who had seen me had seen the Father. That's the declaration let us stick with. And that's the declaration let us introduce men and women to God. That is our service of reconciliation. And not only that, we have the word of reconciliation with which to do it, if we stay consistent and compatible with what the scriptures teach according to what Jesus Christ declared about God. We are, you know, people have a tendency to look at the New Testament through the eyes of the Old Testament, but Jesus Christ introduced God when? In the gospel period going into the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, they did not have that knowledge. That's why we have to take the veil off, as it talks about in Corinthians, and look at the Old Testament in light of what Jesus Christ showed and declared of God, and line up our thoughts and those scriptures compatible with what Jesus Christ declared. If you get confused, there are four books of good news that give us Jesus' introduction to the Father. He that hath seen me, John 14, verses 6 through 9. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. The ministry of service or reconciliation has been given to us. Let's commit ourselves to speak the words of reconciliation consistent and compatible with what Jesus had to declare of God, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him might be saved. We have a friendly promise to reconcile and declare and decree back to people, back to God. Bless your hearts.